Welcome to the Stanislav Savienko Personal Podcast. Here we dive into the passion, the pain, and the resilience of Ukrainian football fans.
15, 13, 12, 11, 10. We are go for main engine start. 8, 7, 6.
Russia unleashes a swarm of attack drones on Kyiv. Ukraine scrambles its defenses into action. The country's air force calls it the most massive air attack by drones on the city. 75 Iranian-made Shahed drones launched at Kyiv, but it says air defences shot down 74, and yet damage from debris extends across.
Alza il pallone, quasi mette fuori tempo Montero. Cavi Moreno bene, Shevchenko nello spazio, va via Shevchenko, accelera, salta tutti Shevchenko, cerca la conclusione.
Advancing on this country in several directions. Early this morning, we heard explosions here in the capital, Kyiv, and in other major cities. These are dramatic and dangerous times for Ukraine, for its neighbors, and for many countries around the world. President Putin said he would not invade his neighbor, and now it is unfolding, and the shockwaves are spreading around the world.
Everything to ensure that after Russian aggression, no one in the world will dare to attack any nation. Weaponization must be restrained. War crimes must be punished. Deported people must come back home. And the occupier must return to their own land. We must be united to make it. And we'll do it. Slava Ukraini!
Players and supporters coming together for the first time since the invasion of their homeland. They're looking to send a message of hope and defiance to their countrymen and women back home.
Today on the podcast, we are diving into a topic that's close to the hearts of many and has profound implications far beyond the world of sports. As the conflict in Ukraine continues, its impact reverberates through all aspects of life, including this passionate world of football. This morning, this day, we'll explore the impact of the war on Ukrainian football fans. Football, often seen as a unifying force, has been significantly affected by the ongoing war. Stadiums that once echoed with cheers are now silent, as matches are postponed or relocated. Clubs face unprecedented challenges, and the once thriving football culture in Ukraine is under severe strain. For the fans, this is more than just a disruption of their favorite pastime. It is a heartbreaking reflection of the turmoil in their daily lives. Imagine the dedication of fans who, in the face of conflict, continue to support their teams, showing resilience and solidarity. Their stories are a testament to the enduring spirit of the Ukrainian people. Many fans are displaced, living as refugees in foreign lands, yet they still find ways to come together, waving their flags, singing their anthems, united by their love for the game. But the impact is not just emotional. The war has also hit the economic backbone of Ukrainian football. Clubs are struggling financially, with sponsorships dwindling and operational cost shrinks. The infrastructure, from training facilities to stadiums, has suffered damage, further complicating the return to normalcy. Despite these challenges, there are glimmers of hope. Football clubs and fans are rallying together, organizing charity matches and fundraisers to support humanitarian efforts. international football communities are showing solidarity, offering support and standing with Ukraine in these difficult times. So, this morning, today, let's take a moment to reflect on the resilience of Ukrainian football fans. Their unwavering spirit amid such adversity is truly inspiring. Stay tuned as we delve deeper into the stories, their struggles, and their hopes for the future. This is Griffith Podcast, where we bring you the stories that matter. To understand today's issue, it is not enough to study the facts. It is not enough to look from the outside. You need to knock on the doors and ask questions to those who are competent, those who care, and those who are affected. Today, I invited to an interview a professional football player of the Ukrainian national team, a professional player of Donetsk Shakhtar, Kharkiv Metalist, and a playing coach of the Hero City Club, FK Mariupol. Please welcome Vitaly Goshkodera.
В центрі поля. Подача небезпечна. Ох, забивають гол зараз наші футболісти. Віталій Гошкодеря. Ну, у стилі Ярослава Ракицького зараз забив. Віталій Гошкодеря.
Здравствуйте, Віталій.
Good afternoon, Віталій. Let's start with the first question. I know that throughout your career, you have managed to visit many teams in the Ukrainian Premier League, as well as the Kazakh Premier League. You started your career in Shakhtar at the age of 7. Is it right? You also played for Chornomorets, Kazakhstan, Ogjet Pass, even won the first league, right?
Yes, that's right. We won the country's first league there.
You played for the Kharkiv Metalist. Your interviews on the internet speak about this, as well as the interview for Chornomorets. So the last team was Mariupol. Is it right?
Yes, but it still exists. I am an active football player. I'm gradually transitioning to a coaching career, helping the head coach, and still continuing to play as a football player for this season.
So, is your team currently in Ukraine but based in another city?
Yes, we are training in Kyiv due to the situation and are participating in the first league of the Ukrainian championship.
Скажите, пожалуйста, как на ваш взгляд вообще война, эта ситуация поменяла всю
ситуацию? Tell me please, how has the war changed the situation in the league in relation to teams like yours and teams that are high in level, like Donetsk Shakhtar?
Ну я начну якби чуть-чуть раньше, но футбол, допустим, ну не допустим, футбол до 2014 года.
I'll start from afar. Football before 2014 and after is a very big difference. Before 2014, in my opinion and others, it was the peak of Ukrainian football. There was a fight for the championship of at least four teams: Shakhtar, Dynamo, Dnipro and Metalist. These were real fights when they played among themselves. It was very interesting. Also, many teams fought for European Cups for 4th, 5th, 6th place. There was also a good fight. There was stable funding in almost all teams. Even in the first league, there were quite a lot of strong teams with good budgets. Clubs developed, built bases. For example, Olympic, where I played, at that time it was a club with a modest budget by the standards of Ukrainian football. The team was in Donetsk, it had its own football base, an academy. In 2014, a modern stadium for 5,000 spectators was built for the entry into the Premier League. But unfortunately, in 2014, many clubs such as Shakhtar Donetsk, Metallurg Donetsk, Olympic Donetsk, Zorya Luhansk and so on, modest clubs, all had to abandon everything that they built and developed for years and move to other cities. After 2014, a big gap began in Ukrainian football. Some clubs could not withstand all this and ceased to exist. But I will say this, closer to the full-scale war, football in Ukraine still began to develop. Some teams adapted to the new realities. Some found new places, bases, someone rented, someone built their own new. Somehow football developed in terms of the economy and salaries in the football sector. They began to grow, of course, not as it was before 2014, but everything was so. There was a ray of light. It was visible. After the post-mass headquarters invasion, it became even more difficult for Ukrainian football. However, it is still good that after a short break they decided to resume matches of the Premier League, First League, Second League. Anyway, I think football is needed in Ukraine for spectators, for fans, for children. Using the example of teams like Mariupol, where I am now, the team had one boss left. The team left Mariupol. Each guy has a separate story of how they sat in the basements under bombing, how they left Mariupol, and now the team finally gathered in Kyiv. The players didn't even have anything to train in. There wasn't even equipment for training, footballs, chips, uniform. That's why there is such a story. For such a famous team as Shakhtar, the situation is also not simple. Many legionnaires left there. Everyone knows how Shakhtar can work, develop football players, sell legionaries for big money. There is a point in this that this situation was beneficial for the local youth. Many football players debuted in Champions League. They proved themselves well. A striking example is Mudrik. He played well in the Champions League. He showed himself and moved to a top championship, a top club. He was sold for a lot of money. In this regard, this is a huge plus for the youth of Shakhtar. This is a plus. Something like that.
Отлично. А скажите, пожалуйста, все эти психологические ситуации...
Thank you. All these psychological circumstances, situation affected the psychology of football players, the families of football players, coaches, people left their native places, abandoned everything. How did this affect the level of Ukrainian football in general? Has football become weaker in the Ukrainian Premier League?
Ну, после полномасштабного вторжения, да, уровень футбола, я считаю, снизился, потому что въехали...
After the full-scale invasion, the level of football definitely dropped because, as I said, the legionaries left, they didn't come back. Of course, there are legionaries who are of a good level and they still do something for football. They develop it with competition, and from all this comes the level of the championship, which can be assessed. Many left, went away, were afraid to return, and the level naturally dropped.
Хорошо, то есть уровень упал, сократилось количество, видимо, европейских мест, правильно, в лиге?
So, the level has dropped, the number of places in European Cups has decreased. How has this affected the support from fans? Have there been fewer fans? Has the attendance at stadiums decreased in the reality of rocket flights, internal worries, cautions? Do you feel support from fans in the moment?
Ну, если брать конкретно фанатов, ну, уровень поддержки, я думаю, что люди все равно как поддерживали свои клубы, так и поддерживают. Ну, если брать именно фаната, знаю, что как бы основные фанаты каждого клуба это ультрас, правильно, которые вот эти фан-сектаторы.
If we take fans specifically, the level of support is still the same as it was, because people support their clubs and continue to support them. If we take fans specifically into account, I know that the main fans of each club are ultras, who are the ardent fan sectors. I know that most ultras are now at war, they are fighting, therefore it is difficult to say about the level of support. Moreover, for a long time football was without spectators for obvious reasons. They were not allowed into stadiums, they played in empty stands, but when they started letting in a certain number of fans, it became more like real championship matches, not training. Attendance depends on the size of the bomb shelters at the stadium. There are stadiums that are allowed 1,000 spectators. Some are allowed 3,000 spectators because at any moment, due to an air raid alarm, the match can be suspended and all spectators, all those in the stands, are asked to go to the bomb shelter. Matches can last 3 hours and 5 hours because of this. However, people who care, they come with great pleasure to watch any level, First League, Second or Premier League. I play in the First League myself and attended Premier League matches where there were enough fans, spectators. I enjoyed football, the process and the atmosphere. People created the atmosphere because they support the team. It all reminds me of those good non-war times, how cool it is when there are a lot of people at the stadium, fans, the same ultras, several groups and also children. Of course, it was great. I wanted to be like that.
Does it help to distract from the situation in the country, the feeling of the stadium, the feeling of the matches,
watching football and playing football?
100% это помогает. Ну, футбол всегда объединял людей.
100% helps. Football has always united people, and I think it continues to unite. To the number one sport in the world, God grant that European Cup matches and national team matches return to our country. This will only be a plus. For me personally, at this time, probably only football and family distract from everything that is happening around.
Скажите, пожалуйста, как вы думаете, после окончания войны такие команды, как Донецкий Шахтёр,
what do you think after Мариуполь, the end of the war, such teams as Donetsk, Shakhtar, your team, Mariupol, they currently live in cities other than their own. What will happen to the teams? Will they return to their cities or will they remain in the current cities?
Ну, сложно сказать, просто никто не знает, когда закончится война. Понятно, что мы все надеемся на лучшее, что такие.
It's hard to say because no one knows when the war will end. It's clear that everyone hopes for the best, that teams like Mariupol will return to their hometown, the same teams from Donetsk. If Shakhtar returns to the Donbass Arena, the best stadium in Eastern Europe, it's hard to say how it will be, but I hope that all the teams will return to their football bases. I hope that's exactly how it will be.
На свои футбольные базы, хотя, ну, это сложный момент. Надеюсь, что так будет.
Вы сказали, что эта ситуация повлияла на то, что легионеры...
You said that this situation influenced the fact that legionnaires stopped coming to the Ukrainian Premier League. On the one hand, this gives a chance to our young footballers. As a footballer who has been at Shakhtar since the age of 7, you participated and saw how they trained, how they developed from the very beginning, how they developed the youth. How are young players being developed now in these realities?
Ну, в данных реалиях, ну, начну, может, там, как раньше было, ну, как развивалась Академия Шахтера, ну, с каждым годом условия там, для детей, для молодежи улучшались, были идеальные.
In this reality, well, I'll start with how it was before. In Shakhtar, for example, the conditions improved every year. There were ideal conditions, foreign football players came, added something new to development, and the Dutch contributed to theirs, and later there were the Spanish, the Portuguese, what I experienced, and so. When the war began, a lot of football players, children, young people left for Europe, many stayed there. They are in good standing there, because I know stories from Germany about guys 15, 16, 14 years old, so this suggests that our academies were the main ones at the time. Shakhtar and Dinamo, they worked correctly, developed children. Now they have caught on in Europe and are doing well. But all the same, the academies continue to develop young guys. The Shakhtar Academy with 4 football ages, the main ones, these are the academies of 3 teams that became champions. It is encouraging that new academies have begun to appear in Ukraine. Ruch in Lviv, Allen Zen in Cherkasy. Everything is developing. They are building bases, creating good conditions for children, inviting children from all over the country. In any case, no matter how you look at it, children are our future. The more such academies there are, more and with good conditions, with good coaches, and parents will not be afraid to let their children study in other cities. This will only be a plus for Ukraine football in the future.
Строят базы, делают хорошие условия для детей, приглашают со всей страны детей. В любом случае, ну, как ни крути, дети – это наше будущее. Чем больше будет таких академий современных, с хорошими условиями, с хорошими тренерами, родители не будут бояться отпускать их учиться даже в другие города. И это только будет в плюс для украинского футбола в будущем.
А каким вы видите вообще?
How do you see the future of the league? Football in Ukraine in general, in the conditions of war. After all, we don't know what will end, when it will end. No one knows. What will the future be like if the war ends tomorrow?
Ну, в любом случае, футбол будет зависеть от экономики в стране. Все равно это премьер-лига, или первая, или вторая лига. Поэтому сложно сказать, что будет, как будет дальше все это развиваться.
In any case, football will depend on the economy in the country. It doesn't matter whether it's the Premier League, the second or the first league. It's hard to predict the future. If the war ends tomorrow, I think it will develop very well. Club investors and presidents will not be afraid to invest money in the development of their clubs, build bases and academies. It's just that now there is a very big danger and probability that missiles can fly anywhere, and you can build and build, and then one missile will destroy everything. When the war ends, I think it will be possible to look more boldly into tomorrow, to plan something to develop football, and not only football, all sports.
Вам не кажется, что прекращение войны пригласит так, ну, сделать?
Don't you think that the end of the war will allow coaches to be invited from abroad as before? For example, like Mircea Lucescu, will the end affect this point?
100% will affect. We see anyway, no matter how you look at it, the situation in our country is terrible, but clubs like Shakhtar in the Champions League are shining example, showing themselves to the whole of Europe and to the whole world. Dynamo, God willing, will now show themselves well in European Cups and other clubs. It's great that football still exists. No one forgets us in big tournaments. Our team plays well, and many of our Ukrainian football players play in top leagues. In England, in Spain, in Italy, there are many football players. I think that if the war ends tomorrow and a new championship begins, I think there will be many people willing to come to our country, to our championship, because we ourselves saw many examples after the Ukrainian championship, how many there were not only Ukrainians, but also the same Brazilians who played in top clubs, Manchester City and so on.
Can you tell me, please, how often did it happen that your teammates from the club or your football friends went to war, mobilized, voluntarily or not? Did this happen to you?
Были случаи, когда люди, работавшие в футболе и даже игравшие, именно футболисты, все бросали и уходили на войну.
There were cases when people in football, football players left, dropped everything and went to war. Personally, I don't have many such examples. I know a few. People voluntarily made their choice and dropped everything and went to war. Involuntarily, I also heard cases, honestly. Personally, I can't confirm 100%, but such talk exists. I think it's not just like that. Such situations probably existed.
Ситуации, наверное, такие были, но я не могу на 100% подтвердить.
А если представить ситуацию, что завтра заканчивается война,
let's imagine a situation where the war ends tomorrow. You are a promising coach and team from Spain, Italy, England, or any top league makes you an offer. Would you stay to develop your career in Ukraine, which shows promise after the war, or would you go to a foreign team?
Ну, хороший, сложный вопрос. Я думаю, в любом случае тренеры, молодой тренер, не молодой, перспективный.
Good, difficult question. I think in any case, the coach, young coach, promising or not, he will evaluate the situation and offers both inside the country and make decisions. No matter what, everyone strives for the best. And if this offer is more promising for a young coach or more attractive to a better league, a better club, I think it will be more interesting where it will be more interesting, let's say.
Скажите, а не кажется ли вам, что...
Don't you think that this situation, the war in Ukraine, as absurd as it may sound, has brought some more benefit to Ukrainian football? Having created such conditions, restrictions, football still continues to develop, matches are still going on, everything is trying to return to normal. Don't you think that this tempered football and fans in Ukraine?
I don't think so. My opinion is definitely no. It didn't have a positive effect. I'll explain why. I'll repeat myself, maybe the youth were lucky, they got more chances, if I may say so. All the same, I think if there had been no war, it would have been better. The youth would have had a chance and the Ukrainian championship would have been more competitive. We would have achieved better results in the European Cups and our national team. All the same, the stronger the national championship, the stronger the championship itself, the stronger the national team should be. I think this is a huge minus.
I am a football fan myself, and I see the impact the situation has had on me. I love the English league, but as a child, I used to watch Ukrainian Premier League matches until 2014 and tried to watch after 2014 as well, but I have stopped watching now. Lille has definitely dropped, in my opinion. Do you think ending of the war will bring fans back to watching our leagues? I mean, fans like me.
Ну, я очень сильно на это надеюсь. Я понимаю, о чем вы говорите, что да, футбол не стал не такой зрелищный, меньше стало матчей там с такими большими вырезками за какие-то.
I really hope so. I understand what you are talking about. Yes, football has become less spectacular. There are fewer matches with big signs. There is less struggle for some places, for first place, for prize places. The matches have become less spectacular, and I understand the same viewer, the fan, the impact is colossal, both from the war and from such football. People still have more of their own problems and concerns at the moment, but I hope that after the end of the war, our football will reach the peak of the same 2012, 13, 14, when we had the Euro and when the every game, even when the middle-class Premier League teams played, was something to watch.
If you look at the fact that our teams made it to the final stages, Dnipro was in the final of the Europa League, Shakhtar took good places in major tournaments like the Champions League, do you think that now, when our teams advance in Euro tournaments, does it help attract attention to our country?
100%, да. Я считаю, что чем лучше наши результаты, тем больше на нас обращают.
The better our result, the more attention we get. Even take the fact that new teams like Police team in the European Cup qualifications are appearing. They are participating there, investing a lot of money by today's standards, building bases and developing. God willing, they will go further in the European Cups they have shown themselves. I think any sport attracts attention to our country. The closest example is the Olympics. When our athletes win, they remind the world of what is happening in the country. People who do not live in Ukraine, somewhere far away, they are starting to forget little by little what is happening in our country. The same sport, our athletes and football players will remind the whole world of what is happening.
Thank you for your answer. The last question I want to ask you is, if we imagine a situation where in a year, exactly on this same day, in 2025, we will have a dialogue and I will ask you the same questions. What do you think your answers will be?
I hope for more positive answers, more positive. We will be happy and look to the future with optimism. That's how I would like it. In a year, talk about more pleasant moments.
Thank you very much, Vitaly.
My pleasure.
It was very nice talking to you.
Thank you too.
Let's thank you, Vitaly Goshkadera, for this interview, in which we talked about the reality of Ukrainian football under war conditions. The war has dealt a significant blow to Ukrainian football and its fans. Financial difficulties, destroyed infrastructure, and outflow of foreign players have reduced the level of football. However, despite all the difficulties, fans continue to support their teams. Many ultras are fighting at the front, many people have left the country, and their many spectators do everything possible to attend matches, stadiums, despite the risks. The war has hardened fans, made them more united and devoted to their teams. Based on data from many statistical sites, before the full-scale Russian invasion in 2022, the attendance of Ukrainian Premier League matches averaged at 10,000 spectators per match. After the invasion, this figure has dropped sharply. In the first months of the war, football matches were played behind closed doors. In the 2023-2024 season, the average attendance recovered to 3,000 to 5,000 spectators per match, but depended on the availability of bomb shelters and the level of security at the stadiums. Many football fans, many football players, of their own free will or against their will, went to the front and fought for the sovereignty of Ukraine. Of course, this has had and continues to have a negative impact on everything related to Ukrainian football, including fans first and foremost. Their only hopes for a bright future, but no one knows the reality. Let's listen to what the Macedons of Ukrainian football, Oleksiy Oleksandrovich Mikhailichenko, Ukrainian footballer, midfielder, honored master of sports of the USSR, honored coach of Ukraine, and coach of the Ukrainian national team, Сергій Рубров, said.
Не знаю. Мені дуже тяжко. Це...
I don't know. It's very difficult to predict this. I would really like to see it. I think there might be a possibility in 23-24 that at some stage fans will be allowed in with small numbers when bomb shelter conditions permit. Safety is the main priority, but it would be nice to have a section of ultras and fans back in stadium. This is also a priority for us. We can only hope.
Це для нас теж пріоритетно.
I think it's important that our players from Ukraine is going abroad, go to play in the big leagues. We are not talking only about the, for example, very close leagues like Poland and Hungary. There's lots of players playing there, but I think it's very important for national team and for the growing up for the players to play in the big league. And my opinion, we had all the time we had a talent test, but it's good that last years we opened the door for big leagues and the players who is there. I think they give reclam for our players who is playing at home, and now I think big championships is watching for Ukraine, watching for Ukrainian players, and they are inviting them.
It is quite difficult to anticipate how the war will affect Ukrainian football fans psychologically. They have to reconstruct their lives and the structures around them, because the fight has left them with more than just emotional scars. I am a fan of Ukrainian football. I am a Ukrainian. But I can tell that a lot has changed since 2021. After everything I witnessed, it's very difficult to surprise me with awful things anymore. I don't feel too strongly about this based on what I've heard from others. Every day you see the news from Ukraine, you live its life for them. It's almost 900 days since the invasion and still counts. But you still can see, in the capital of Ukraine, in Kyiv, how barriers been left. Since the first day of the war, you see the glass of the windows, you see the stones from the buildings bombed by Russian rockets. There is a hope for brighter future both for Ukraine, Ukrainian football, and football fans, for people. But when will it happen? Unfortunately, it hasn't happened yet. Now, the Ukrainian football fans visit more funerals and matches and birthday. The graveyard of soldiers, of people, of football fans, of footballers. The end of war remains unclear. However, football keep being alive. People still fighting. Football fans still support.
Чогось наша славна Україна зажурилася. А ми тую червону калину підіймемо. А ми
Зінченко. Подача. Удар!
Артем Довбик! Артем Довбик! Славна
калина охилила.
Прекрасна передача і здорова п'ята наша відповідь. Передача на 11 метрів. Шапаренко! Микола! Микола Шапаренко! Що ж ти витворяєш?
there is still hope ahead. Thank you for your attention. Share this episode and leave your comments. You have listened to Stanislav Savenko's podcast. In the next episode of the podcast, we will continue to explore how exactly fans are coping with the current challenges and what awaits Ukrainian football in the future. Stay tuned to find out more. Glory to Ukraine!
Слава Україні!